We're going to be looking specifically at verse 1 when we come round the Lord's table. I like to take a break from my usual series and focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon his death and the meaning of his death. And this morning we're going to be looking specifically at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I want to speak to you this morning very simply of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the theme of my sermon, the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course it is right that we should think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Every sermon from this pulpit should be about the Lord Jesus Christ. And specifically, as we gather around the table, we should of course focus upon the Lord Jesus. We should meditate upon him. And in this verse, I want to show you three things that are written about the Lord Jesus. Three things that I trust will encourage you and bless you. They're all there in the verse. I'm just going to walk through the verse with you and pick out those three things. The first is this, that Christ is the light of the world. Christ is the light of the world. David says there, right at the beginning, the Lord is my light. Now, as I will mention a bit later, this is a very personal psalm. You notice that word my coming up again and again, and I will come back to that. But when David says the Lord is my light, well, of course, the Lord is his light, but there is more to it than that. And the Bible tells us that Christ is the light of the world. Jesus himself in John 3, when speaking with Nicodemus, says, this is the verdict, light has come into the world. And he was speaking of himself. Now, what do we mean when we say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world? Well, it means two things specifically. It means that Christ, the light of the world, reveals our hearts. This is an uncomfortable truth, but it is a truth that as you come to know the Lord Jesus, as you walk with him, his light shines upon your heart, and his light reveals things that are there. Now this, yes, it should make us slightly uncomfortable, but actually this is a wonderful thing. It's the grace of God. Because you know how it is, a person wakes up one morning and he has a pain, perhaps a pain in his leg. And if he ignores that, well, it could be something very serious. It could develop into a very major illness, and he may have to have his leg amputated. He may even find that it takes his life because it was the beginning of some very serious illness. But he wakes up in the morning and he says, I've got this pain in my leg. I'd better go and have an x-ray done. I better go and have a scan. And so the doctor sends him off for an x-ray, a scan, and they look at that leg and they say, do you know, it's the beginnings of a massive problem. It's only small at the moment. But it's the beginning of a massive problem. So that scan, that x-ray, has done the person a favor. He may not have liked being told you have a problem there, but the doctor says you have a problem, but it can be cured. And the Lord Jesus Christ shines his light upon our hearts and says there is sin here, but it can be cured. And this is the wonderful thing about the grace of God. Christ, the light of the world, reveals our sins. And Christ, the light of the world, deals with our sins and puts them out so that we may be ready for heaven. But it also means something else. Christ, the light of the world, doesn't just reveal our hearts. Christ, the light of the world, reveals the character of God. He is God. And when he came into this world, people looked upon God. And all his actions were the actions of God. All his works were the works of God. And he revealed God to a lost world. And he spoke to a lost world. And he was saying to a lost world, merely by his coming, he was saying to a lost world, you are in your sin, but you are not abandoned of God. You're in your sin and you're in your rebellion, but God has not turned his back on you, and God has not rejected you, and God has not thrown you away, but God has looked upon you with grace and mercy Because God is gracious, and grace means that God does not deal with us according to our sins, but God deals with us according to grace, mercy, love, and compassion that fills His heart. And Jesus came into this world full of grace. And all of Jesus' works were gracious works. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. And He healed all who came to Him. Those who were demon-possessed were delivered because Christ came to bring salvation. He is the light of the world, and He came to reveal God's heart. Do you know the most important thing in the Christian life is to know God? It is to know God's heart. The most important thing in the Christian life is to understand this, that God's heart is filled with mercy and filled with love and filled with compassion towards His people. If you're a Christian here this morning, you love the Lord Jesus, you've been born again by His Spirit, you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you've been washed in His blood, God will never reject you. God will never be angry with you. God will never judge you for your sins. And God will never put you away from Himself because He has punished His Son in your place. The heart of God is filled with mercy towards you. The heart of God is filled with love towards you. He loves you with an eternal love, with a complete love. And He will never, ever withdraw that love from you. This is the God whom our Lord Jesus Christ came to reveal. Christ, the light of the world, reveals God to us. And He's a gracious and a merciful and a loving God who loves His people, who values His people, who treasures His people, and who prepares His people for heaven. So Christ is the light of the world. Secondly, in this verse, Christ is the Savior of sinners. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He is my light and my salvation. So here is David now speaking of Christ being more than just light. Well, it's wonderful that He has revealed God to us. And it's wonderful that we've seen that the heart of God is filled with love and mercy towards us. But we are sinners. We're steeped in sin. We've rebelled against God. We've gone away from it, from Him. And we habitually break His law. And here is David saying more than Christ is the light of the world. He says Christ is our Savior. David knew the reality of salvation. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 4, you read about this. And Paul, writing in Romans 4, says David knew all about what it means to be saved through faith alone. He knew that salvation isn't in his own works. He knew that salvation isn't by his own efforts. He knew that his salvation lay in his Savior, and he trusted in his Savior. And here he writes about his Savior, and he says, the Lord is my salvation. And he's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had some knowledge of Christ, not a full knowledge. He had some knowledge of Christ. And we come through the Bible and we go into the New Testament. And we read about Christ, the Savior of the world. We read about how Christ came to this world with this purpose that He might save sinners. We read about how Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. How He was crucified on that cross. And as He hung upon that cross, God laid the sins of His people upon Him. And He bore the full weight of the sins of His people. All their sins. All your sins that you've ever committed. All the sins that you're even now committing as you listen to me. And all the sins that you will commit the rest of your life until you die. All those sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And God exacted a penalty from Christ. And Christ paid that penalty. And so David could say, Christ is my salvation. Do you notice? He doesn't just say Savior, but He's actually my salvation. He's my deliverance from sin. He is the one who cleanses me and washes me and forgives me and delivers me and brings me to heaven. He is my salvation. I want you to notice that personal pronoun. He doesn't say, the Lord is the light and the salvation, whom shall I fear? He doesn't say that, do you notice? He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Because this is the heart of the Christian faith. The heart of the Christian faith is that Christ came for sinners, and each of us, we need to respond to Christ. We need to come to Him. We need to ask Him to save us. We need to receive Him as Lord and Savior. We need to pray to Him that He would wash us in His blood. We need to ask Him that He would grant you forgiveness. It has to be this personal dealings with God. Christianity isn't just some kind of general religion, and we all belong to it, but we don't have personal dealings with God. That is not the Christian faith. Islam, yes. Hinduism, yes. Buddhism, yes. It's all this kind of vague religion, and we all belong to this religion, and there is God, and we worship, but not Christianity. The Christian faith is in these personal possessive pronouns. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not go without. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You see those personal pronouns, David uses them so often, and here they are. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Do you know Christ? Have you come to know Him? Are you born again by His Spirit? Have you been washed in His blood? Have you been forgiven? Well, praise God, you're blessed. Because all of God's blessings will then rest upon you. You have a place in heaven guaranteed. And it's guaranteed because Jesus has guaranteed it. Not your works, but Christ has guaranteed it. Christ is the Savior of the world. He's the only Savior of the world. God will accept no other means of salvation. You may think yourself to be the finest human being on earth. You may think yourself to be the most religious person. You may think yourself to be the most righteous person. God will not accept your works. God has made it clear that the only person whose works He will accept is His Son, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the only works that God the Father accepts. And Jesus has died, and Jesus has paid the penalty for His people. And Jesus has shed His blood. And Jesus has cleansed His people. And we have forgiveness through Him. Are you trusting in Him? Have you put your faith in Him? And do you know Him as your salvation? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Wasn't it helpful to have that family talk this morning? These children lost in the cave. I remember that story. These children lost in the cave. And we prayed for them. And the rescuers arrived. And they were rescued. And it is a picture of salvation. It is like saying, I'm lost in my sin. And I'm lost in my rebellion. And I'm lost in all this darkness. And Christ comes, the light of the world, and leads us out of that darkness into eternal life. So Christ is the light of the world. And Christ is the Savior of sinners. And then thirdly and finally, Christ is the stronghold of His people. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The word means refuge or tower. It's a word that is used often in the Old Testament, and it's something that we know much about. In the Law of Moses, there were these cities that had been designated cities of refuge. And if a person committed murder without meaning to do so, manslaughter, wasn't intentional, but he killed somebody without intending to do so. And the family turned on him. And they said, well, you killed one of our members, we're going to kill you. He could run to this city of refuge. And as long as he wasn't guilty of deliberate murder, it was accidental, he would be given refuge. He was protected. And then as they built cities, they built towers in their cities, and they built walls around their cities, and this became known as refuge, a place of protection. And so this is a picture that the Lord Jesus Christ, he saves us from our sin. He brings us out of darkness. He brings us out of slavery to sin. But then he doesn't leave us. He doesn't say to us, well, I've brought you out of sin and darkness and slavery. Now you make your own way. He doesn't leave us. He surrounds us. He's like a wall around us. He surrounds us. He protects us. He watches over us. He walks with us. David knew this experience, didn't he? Because in Psalm 23, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And he knew this experience, and all Christians know this experience. This is the most precious experience that we have as Christians. Christ with us. And Christ never, ever, ever leaves us. There are times when we may feel abandoned, but we haven't been abandoned. There are times when we may feel, well, God isn't with me any longer. Something has gone wrong, and I don't sense the presence of God. We feel like that sometimes, but we mustn't go by our feelings. He is with us. There are those precious promises, the last words that Jesus spoke before he ascended into heaven, and he said, behold, I'm with you until the end of the age. Have you ever known Jesus to break a promise? Have you ever known Jesus to give his word and then he's unable to keep it? Of course not. And if he has said this, I am with you till the end of the age, he is with us till the end of the age. Are you in distress this morning? Do you find yourself in trouble this morning? Do you find some issue there in your life and it brings you great difficulty? And sometimes these things block out this felt presence of God. You know how they use this illustration? They hold up a 10p coin and they say, well, the 10p coin, you can block out the sun. And sometimes our troubles are like that. They can sort of block out this massive presence of God, just a 10p coin. Well, here is a wonderful promise of God. David looks at his life and David says, God is my stronghold. He is my refuge. He surrounds me with his love. He protects me with his power. He watches over me with his keen eyes. There's a lovely verse in 2 Chronicles when King Asa was under attack. And a prophet called Hanani came to Asa. And Hanani says to Asa, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro through the earth, looking out for those and giving strong support to those whose hearts are devoted to him. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth. I love that picture. Now, when my eyes go to and fro in this building, I miss things. But God never misses anything. When God's eyes go to and fro throughout the earth, the whole earth, not one small building with a few people, but the whole earth, as God's eyes go through the whole earth, he sees his people, those whose hearts are devoted to him. Every one of his children, he sees them. The youngest to the oldest, the strongest to the weakest, the one who is mourning and the one who is rejoicing. He sees all of them. Every one of them. He sees the ones who need strong support. And Hanani said to Asa, he gives strong support to those whose hearts are devoted to him. My friends, if you are in distress this morning, I want to say to you, God is with you. Christ is with you. Christ is walking with you in the valley of the shadow of death. He has you in his hand. Even if you don't experience him, he is with you. And he has sent his Holy Spirit. And you remember when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, he said, the Comforter will come. And he is the Comforter. And the Comforter lives in you. And he will give you support, strength, encouragement, and comfort. Christ is the stronghold of his people. That's what Psalm 27 verse 1 says about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, the Savior of sinners, and the stronghold of his people.